Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Sarah Gon, how are you this afternoon?
I'm very well, all the better for the rain we had last night.
Let's talk about whose slavery is it anyway. I have no idea where you're going with that this afternoon.
Okay, well I'm going to our president at the United Nations, where he basically put out the begging bowl and showed how, you know, that he's not a proud man at all, and he begged for money, and he said the rich world owes us, and then, and I'm not, I won't cover that, but it's a really worthwhile, it comes from a really worthwhile article by a regular columnist, Ivo Fechter, in the Daily Friend this Wednesday. And basically he then called for the reparations for slavery. And that was quite something. He described slavery as being one of the darkest periods in the history of the humankind and a crime of unparalleled barbarity. Its legacy persists in the Americas, in the Caribbean, in Europe, the Middle East, and in Africa itself. Now, he's not wrong, other than that slavery has not been a period. It's been a feature of the existence of mankind immemorial. Conquerors have taken slaves for, you know, as long as humans have been on Earth. So what I'm trying to do is just distinguish between there being only specific periods of slavery and slavery as an institution. And he recognizes that millions of Africans were sold into slavery, but that they remain trapped in lives of underdevelopment, disadvantage, discrimination, and poverty. And essentially, he's looking at Western, at the slave, at
so we distinguish between, we distinguish between slavery perpetrated by Africans versus slavery perpetrated by North Americans or Europeans.
Basically, it's the West, North America, not even North Americans or European. It's England and America perpetrated 150 or more years ago was when slavery was abolished. It doesn't look at anybody else. I mean, it doesn't look at Asia, East Asia, the Middle East, Africa. He's not concerned of slavers from those regions at all. Just an interesting point to make is that it was the more staggering than the horror of slavery, in fact, was the abolition of slavery by Britain and then latterly America. That was really what was astonishing, was that actually the societies actually decided to end slavery. But basically, he's referring to the simplistic belief that Western prosperity was built on the backs of African slaves. And what Ivor says is that in fact, Western prosperity really took, particularly in England, started to take off after the abolition of slavery, when the Industrial Revolution kicked in and slavery was no longer part of the economic sphere at all for the United Kingdom. He also says that very few fortunes made during the age of slavery persist today, and that commonly by the third generation of any fortune made, the fortune is gone. And he points out that Ramaphosa did not demand reparation from African rulers, or for the descendants of anyone from Africa who was enslaved by anyone else other than the West. And he points out, and I thought was intriguing, I had forgotten about this, that the single biggest destination for slavery across the oceans was Brazil. And it was the last country in the Americas to abolish slavery. But, you know, we're not going to seek reparations from a BRICS colleague. Mm. And he basically refers to the countries which today still hold people in bondage, including India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan, and North Korea. But what's really, really funny, he takes a bit of chutzpah here, but he says, Ramaphosa has in fact sort of been involved in modern day slavery because he's accepted the doctors from Cuba who are not paid. Their salaries go to the government. And that, after all, is the definition of slavery, where you do not pay the people who are doing the work.
It's an unfortunate discussion that we're even having to have. I find myself innately quite uncomfortable being involved in a conversation where we almost, to a certain extent, trying to explain away slavery. I don't think we are for 1 minute. It would be fantastic if one standard was applied to all, because that then would change us entirely.
Well, I think the point is that, you know, the obsession with Western slavery has been highlighted by the critical race theory movement because the entire rationale of the movement depends on the 200 years of slavery in America. And the problem is that it's for beyond the narrow confines of America, and even there you could argue it any which way, you can't simply take that basis for dealing with race relations and supplant it here, no matter how egregious our history is. There are way too many other factors involved. And I think that the real problem is that where, you know, literally the very people who will decry the history of American slavery, which is not difficult to decry. I mean, it was barbaric after all, largely. But the very fact that modern slavery is uncommented upon by human rights practitioners who will support the sort of reparations they believe should be are owed by America, by white Americans to black Americans, is, you know, it's something that it makes you wonder where people's moral compasses are.
Roland is just waiting on our discussion this afternoon. Sarah saying, Sarah, don't go spoiling leftist woke fantasies with facts now, please. And that's from Roland.
No, they are my facts. No, they aren't my facts. They are facts.
No, but exactly. And that's what he's saying. You know, it's such a difficult area to traverse because of exactly what you said, critical race theory. It's changed the dynamic of the conversation. It's a difficult one to have. But Sarah, that's why we like chatting to you, because you are fearless and you go where nobody else will tread. So thank you for chatting to me this afternoon and for making us think.
Like always. Thank you.